Well, I got the release to share something with you. You all right with that? The Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society, Friday Night Prayer School, that's where you are. Do you know that?
Yes.
Some people need reminding. They don't know where they are. Where am I, brother? Well, we're just letting you know, that's where you are. This is Friday night. Did you know that? Maybe you don't know that either. It's Friday. That's why we put it there in the thing. Friday Night Prayer School. You're going to school on Friday night, and you're going to do some work in prayer? You guys are fanatics. Do you know that? Now we're all on the same page then. We know who we are, we know where we are, and we know what time it is. It's Friday night, it's time for prayer school. So you're going to learn something tonight? I hope so. Or do you want me to just not to, you know, hold back on you a little bit? Just hold back, please. Now, if you guys come out to something like this, I can just let it fly. Hallelujah. Friday night prayer school number one, proper development and functioning of the society. The society. What society are you talking about? I'm talking about the society of light, brother. The society in the kingdom of light of whom you are a part. We are all a part of this society of the kingdom of light. And we're learning how to function correctly. And so when we meet together, we're going to pray about this, and we're going to pray this thing through. Do you know you have to grab onto things? And this is something that God was telling me. He says, you got to grab onto things in the spirit and not let go of them until you get it. Well, what if it doesn't happen right away? That's the point. Hold on to it until you get it. And part of that is prayer. We'll talk about that a little bit more. This is what the work of prayer is first of all, finding out what you need to grab a hold of, and then grabbing a hold of it and not letting it go until you've got it, until it submits to you. Like a bulldog. Bulldog grabs on the bull's nose, that soft, tender part. That's why they put rings in bull's noses. You didn't know that? Goodness gracious, what are you, city people? We're from the society. We don't know about bulls. Brother. That's what they do. They put a ring in the bull's nose so you can lead it around. Big bull. Those are powerful animals. I don't know if you knew that or not. No bull. Big animals. And some of them are dangerous because they got all that testosterone just pumping through their bodies and they don't know what to do with it. They got to bust through a door or something. And then you show them a red cloth. Don't do that. You better run or wear a clown suit. I don't know how those guys get away with it. Must be the clown suit. Bulls are scared of clowns. But red claws, they hate them. But that tender part of their nose, so if a bull's coming at you, just grab them by the nose. Say, come on, come on. But that's what they do. They put a ring in their nose, and if you knew anybody on a farm, see, I grew up on a farm or near a farm. Not on a farm. My wife would correct me. You didn't grow up. It's like you grew up in a barn. But not on a farm. No, you grow up on a farm or near a farm. My uncles were farmers, and they'd have one bull. Isn't that amazing? They'd eat the rest of them because they're nasty and mean. But they keep the biggest one. That's right. Keep just one around. Oh, brother. What crowd did I get into here today? But the ring, you keep one bull. And they would keep them tied up with this ring on their nose and a small chain. It didn't take much. You tie a chain to the thing's leg, they would bust through. You need one of those huge chains, tractor chain or something. Little bitty chain on the end of this ring around their nose. You can lead them around. Come on, lead them around by the nose. Come here, bully, bully, bully. So where was I going with that? You need to grab the, think of the power of that thing. You grab it and you are the owner of it at that point. Okay? Once you find the spot to hold on to, you grab onto it and you don't let it go. Bulldog, that's what they were designed to do. That's how they bring that giant animal into submission. Bulldog's not as big as a bull, but he knows what to grab. The nose. And he locks onto that thing and he'll bring it down into submission until he'll just stand there with a dog on the end of his nose. That's a sad sight for the bull. But that's what he's designed to do. That's what you're designed to do. And in the spirit, there are things we need to grab onto and hold onto it and occupy it until it comes into submission to us. You mean God? You got to demand God? Not really. There's, you know, God freely gives. You don't have to beg and plead with him. He freely gives. But there's other things that don't want to give up. Certain sicknesses and certain things that they've been ruler of the earth for quite some time, way before you got here, and they're not happy about you kicking them out. They're trying to hold on to everything that they can. But you have to come in and take them by the nose and say, I don't think so. Move along. Get out of my life. What if you don't? What if you don't take them by the nose? What if you don't do that? Then it stays there. That's part of what prayer is. That's what we're going to learn how to do. Grab onto the things that we're called to grab onto until it comes into submission. Does that make sense? Proper, and one of those things, proper development and functioning of the society. New births into the society. What do I mean by that? I mean people getting born again and other people that just haven't, they've been living in the outskirts of Christianity. The Lord spoke to me several years ago when we started this, that there's hundreds of people around this area that have just been cast out from so many churches because they're not satisfied. They figure, why don't I just stay home and watch TV? I'll just stay home and watch TV because there's nothing in the area. Why do I want to go there and get filled with unbelief and doubt and legalism? And it's like I'd rather stay home. At least I'm not battling a warfare with the people that are supposed to be on my side. Amen. And I was in that shape too when the Lord spoke to me. And he said, well, you start something, ding dong. What are you waiting for? New births into the society, whether they be people who just need to be born again. What? Born again? Sometimes you feel like you've been born again. You fall away, right? You fall away, you get tired, you know, yeah, I'm still a believer, I'm still a Christian, but I feel so weak. And I just don't have the strength. Then all of a sudden some energy and life comes back into you, and you're like a new person again. You're born again. Now, theologically, brother, can you argue that case? No, I don't have to. Just stop asking those questions. I really don't care. The point is, let's follow God and get everything he has, right? And if it means people coming into the society, I'm going to call them born again. Got a problem with that? Have you been born again, brother? It's like one of those people that says things too many times. Number three, knowledge of the glory of the Lord filling. And what do I mean by filling the metropolitan? I mean filling it. You are the metropolitan. Everywhere you go, you're on the metropolitan. If you're full, it's going to overflow you and spill out into everything you do and have and say and are. And people be getting born again all around you. Hallelujah. If they weren't born again, they get born again. If they were born again, but they weren't living it and weren't walking it and weren't really part of the society, they get born again. You understand? Stand. And then the last one, well, through the kingdom of God being made manifest in, on, and around the members of the society. We understand what our job is that the glory of the Lord fills the earth as the waters cover the sea, and we're like a bulldog. We're not going to let go of that until that actually happens. Do you know that? Do you know that we're going to do that right here where you sit? And in this area, right where we are, that means your earth. The earth that you live in, the apartment or house you live in, the job you're on, whatever it is, the glory of the Lord. And that's my job here. That's your job. If you're here, that's what we're doing. And it's going to happen. And we're not going to let go until we've got it. Do you understand? The legitimate thing. And I'm up here like a bulldog telling you, I'm not letting go of this until we have it. You know, I've got other things to do. I've got other places to go. But I can't do it and go it. Until we get it. The glory of God has to come here and stay. And then I can do number two. But unless it comes and stays, that's why I'm on this thing. And I'm not going to let go of it. And neither are you. We're going to be one accord, just like on the day of Pentecost. One accord in one place. Did it have to be a huge, large church? It was, eventually, but it wasn't when the glory hit. What was Azusa Street, big giant church, before the glory hit? No. Doesn't always take that, but it takes people being in one accord and being tenacious like a bulldog and not letting go. All right. Glory be to God forever. So if you open up your Bibles to James 5, it's going to be our foundation scripture for a few weeks here, I believe. We're going to call this the work of prayer. The work of prayer. James 5, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. James 5, verse 16, don't read it, we're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. I love your word. I eat your word. I love your word. Every word of it, I enter into it. We all enter into your word together tonight. We're changed by it. Live in it. Love it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you wrote this and gave it to us and that you're the teacher and you're the guide and you teach every single one of us right here tonight. We will never be the same. You are glorious and wonderful. Have your way. Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. What did I say? 15? 16. All right. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Sharon, can I use your Amplified Bible? Confess your faults, therefore, one to another that you may be healed. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. When you're praying in the right way, earnestly, from the heart, which is your spirit man, you are making tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Has to come from a righteous person, though, right? Otherwise, there wouldn't be that much power available. Read on here. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth. Listen, where was he?
He was in heaven, brother.
No, not at that time. He is now. But at that time, he was on the earth. He was a righteous man. He prayed earnestly, and something happened on the earth. Rain stopped. So where's the power of binding and loosing? On the earth with righteous men and women. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he had to go hide because everybody was mad at him. They knew who did it. And he prayed again. He prayed again. Who prayed? God prayed, right? It was the will of the Lord. The Lord willed it this way. No, he prayed. Specifically said this. He prayed. In fact, he was telling people, it shall not. And I loved it because his confession was straight the whole time. It shall not rain except when I say so. He would tell people. It won't rain unless I say so. That's tough, dude. That's the righteousness of faith. Speaks on this wise. Well, I thought it was just New Testament. No, it's all littered throughout all of the Bible. This is the way God does things with words. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let me ask you a question. Do you think this is just talking about physical rain and physical fruit on the earth? It can. You can use your faith as a righteous man and make it rain on your earth. But we're also talking about a spiritual rain here. The former and the latter specifically. The latter rain. So if a righteous man prays, the latter rain shall come and bring forth the precious fruit of the earth. We believing for rain? Are we praying for rain? Then as Elijah was a man like passion such as we, if he could do it and he wasn't even born again, our righteousness exceeds his. So when we pray for rain, what's going to happen? going to rain unless we step out of righteousness and start saying something else. What if we start saying, well, I prayed for rain, but it doesn't seem to be raining and it doesn't seem like it's happening, blah, 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 blah. You are not righteous anymore. Your words aren't righteous. The work of prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What does it mean to faint? To give up. You faint, you gave up. Why do people give up and faint at weddings? I don't know. Have you ever seen that? I mean, it's like every wedding you go to, somebody loses it. They can't handle the heat or the pressure or the nervousness or the suit, maybe. I don't know what it is. But are they participating in the wedding anymore? They fainted, didn't they? Usually in some awkward moment, and they look really ridiculous. Don't do that. Don't faint. Pray. And don't faint. Don't give up. Don't let it stop. Don't let go of that bull. Don't. What happens if you don't? If you give up and you faint? If you do what he said not to do, what do you get?
Nothing.
Nothing. What if Elijah halfway through it said, this isn't working, I guess I got to go somewhere and run? When you're believing for something, what if you faint halfway through it? What if you stop your confession? You stop believing for your kids or whatever. You stop. What happens? Nothing. The bull wins. The bull wins. You are now a matador. You take the bull by the horns and you must slay it. And I say no. No. Hallelujah. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, pray, saying. Now listen here. You ought always to pray and not to faint. Always. How can you always pray? How can you always be in prayer? And obviously, okay, we've got the element of speaking in tongues here, which Elijah didn't have. But we know that his words were always in line with what he already prayed. So as far as the devil or God or man or anybody else is concerned, that prayer is still going. That prayer is still effectual because you haven't backed off it with your words. When you say, by his stripes I was healed, then by his stripes you was healed. You was. But if you faint from that and you say, well, I just don't feel healed now, I guess it's not working, then you fainted and your prayer is not continuing. Do you understand? But the other element here is you've got to grab onto that thing and not let it go until it submits to you. And if you faint in that process with your confession or your tenacity or anything else, you don't get it. And we're not here in baby school this evening. We're here believing God for the end of all things. I don't know if you understand that or not. I can get the hair to stand straight up on my head just thinking about this. I'm like, I'd like to see that. We're in a day and an hour where we can see it. If we can push through this thing and this bull that we're grabbing onto is serious. Go look it up in your Bible. This is it, people. When the generation sees Israel come back in to be a nation, that generation will not cease until they see the Lord coming. Well, it doesn't take too many brains to figure this out. This is it. We get to ride this train. Get to. If we pay the price. And frankly, I want to be one of those guys. I want to be one of the ones on the train. Don't you? That's what this society is all about. We're not letting go of this thing until we see the Lord and hear the trumpet. I was joking to Rich about it. It's not over till the fat lady sings. Or the fat lady blows the trumpet. Won't you be surprised when it's a really fat lady angel? Well, we've been confessing that for years. Not over till she blows the trumpet. I'm serious. Except about, you know, the fat lady. You understood that. We have the ability to step over just like Enoch. This church is the prophecy of Enoch. We have the ability to step over. Last enemy put underfoot is what? So what's the rest of the bull we got to bring into subjection? I like that. See, because I can say bull when I'm actually referencing a bull. What's the rest of the bull, brother? We got to bring that bull into subjection. What is it? Everything else except death. You mean sickness? You mean poverty? What about herpes? Yeah, everything. AIDS, I don't care what it is. Stupidity, plenty of that. The last enemy. And one day we'll be preaching that. Death has to go. Death, once we've got all the, what else are we going to pick on? Once we got that bull under subjection, we got it down on the ground twitching, what's the last enemy we're going to start picking on? We're going to see people, their youth being renewed. And eventually it's going to be like, come on. We beat up everything else. Let's start picking on this one. Do you mean that? I so mean it. The inside of me right now wants to just pop out of my skin and run around the room. There it goes. I'm serious about this. And that we're going to get it by walking in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of light. We're going to grab onto this thing. Hallelujah. And he said a parable unto them that to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. He would not for a while. This judge wouldn't give in to her for a while. But afterward he said to himself, though I fear not God, neither regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now some people say, well, see, that means you just got to keep pestering God and pestering God and pestering God. Really? I don't think so. You ever do that to your father? No. Well, I'm going to swap you. Get out of here. I got work to do. You know, putting a lock on the office door just to keep the pestering kid away. That's not what he's talking about. And people have said this. How could this be talking about God? He says, here's a guy who does not fear God, nor regard man. God doesn't fear God. It's like, where do they get this garbage? I'll tell you what he's talking about. Really? Yeah. He's talking about an unjust judge, an unjust person with a judgment. He has an unjust judgment against you. The devil may have a judgment against you. Oh, I can put sickness on you. Because of Adam's sin, or because of some sin you did, I can put sickness on you. It's no longer valid. It's unjust. Who did the woman go to get rid of this adversary, though, that was on her? Did she go to God and beg him? Not into this. She went to the judge and said, give me deliverance from my adversary. Give it to me. I must have it. Daily she'd go there and pester this one with the unjust judgment. Give it to me. Give it to me now. It's due to me. And he said, for a time he wouldn't. But then finally he's like, I just got to do it. I have to. So he gave the judgment and the adversary. The word adversary there is the word for Satan. It's the same word. Well, that must be the angels of God. Come on, stop it. It is not. This is prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Who's he praying to? Where in this? Could you please show me? Where this woman is talking to God. She isn't. So part of prayer is being tenacious to demand your rights here on this earth and not let go until the adversary gives up and lets go and you have what's rightfully purchased for you by the blood of Jesus and the cross. Did that make sense? Hallelujah. He would not for a while. Have you ever seen that happen? You believe God for something. You demand it to be so. You demand the devil to let go of your stuff. Leave my stuff alone. And it seemed like he would not for a while. What if you fainted in the midst of that? And you didn't ought always to pray, but you fainted in the midst of that. What happened then? The adversary won. But if you're tenacious enough and you do not let go and you visit it every day, here's another thing. Did this woman have other things to do? She had a life to live. She probably had kids, right? She had to clean the house, do the dishes, wash the laundry. She had a life, but inside of that and outside of that, she went to this judge every day. She took time out of her schedule, just like you're doing tonight. You don't have to be here. You can be at the movies or at the ball game or something. But you're doing your life, but on top of that, you're demanding things to be let go and loosed. You're demanding your rights. You're demanding your judgments. Glory be to God. It takes that extra effort. What if this woman didn't put in the extra effort? What does she get? Nothing. Life as usual. She'd still be in bondage in some way or another. She'd still have one thing not under her feet, if not everything. Glory be to God. I believe you guys are getting it. Avenge me of my adversary. It means to carry out justice on my adversary. The devil has to. He can't not do it. He has to. If you enforce it. If you don't enforce it, nothing happens. Brother, that's tough. I know. This is the strong man's gospel. This is the way it is. If you want to live in the power and blessing of God, then you're going to have to stand in that same power and blessing and keep the enemy under your feet. There are ways to control that giant bull. Hallelujah. We're showing you some here tonight. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? He said this kind of thing was faith. Standing there making sure you get your rights established. People would say that's arrogance. It's not arrogance. It's just doing the word. And God calls it faith, and he's pleased by it. This pleases God to see you putting the adversary down in every area of your life. We're talking about the work of prayer. And this is going to get thick. This is going to develop. These things are foundational. We need to know this stuff. And when we're praying and believing God for things, we cannot let go. We can't just patsy around with it. We don't play around with it. You're going to believe God for, that's why I say don't mess around with it. If you're going to believe God for healing, believe God for healing and hold on to it and don't let your confession change until it shows up in your physical body. Period. Believe for it, release your faith and stand there and demand. No, you don't even need to demand God. He freely gives. God already released it. Daniel prayed for information, for wisdom about some of the dreams he was having. The Bible said that immediately when his prayer was heard, the angel was sent with the answer. But the angel had to fight with the prince of Persia for 21 days just to get through. What if Daniel didn't persevere? How would that angel get from heaven to him without his authority in the earth and his prayer? Believing and pulling. Wouldn't have. Man ought always to pray, not to faint. And like I'm saying, you grab onto something, it takes a little strength. It takes a little force in your belly to grab onto it. And sometimes that's the way it feels. Feels like you got spiritual hands. Did you know that? You are a spirit being. You look just like you do on the outside, except better. In the spirit, you got spiritual eyes. You got spiritual ears. What do your spiritual ears hear? Spiritual things. What do your spiritual eyes see? Spiritual things. What do your spiritual hands do? Spiritual things. And they can grab onto things and hold onto them. And many times that's exactly what I feel like. I feel God saying, don't let go. Don't let go. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. You got him. You got him by the neck. Now you got to crush that thing. What if you don't crush it? What if you don't drive out all the enemies? What if you just leave a few because they're not so bad? No. They come back and they start to be little thorns in your flesh, don't they? And it doesn't take much of a thorn to just bug you. That's tenacity. That's what we're talking about. You don't win a race without preparing for it, grabbing onto it, and refusing to lose. You got to get that fire in you where you could eat the whole bull if you had to from the tail up. I don't care what I got to do. Think about a dog or something. My wife won't like this, but if a big dog's coming at you, barking at you, you know, the worst thing to do is run. What I do is go at him, stick my arm all the way down its throat, grab its stomach, and pull that out and show it to him. It's not going to bite you very much after that. But see, there's a difference between doing that and trying to run and hide behind something, okay? One is offensive. Brother, you're offensive. I know. That's what we're going to be. That's what this is. Because we're in a kingdom now here on this earth that the devil thinks he owns. He still thinks he doesn't. He tried to trick you into it. But Jesus said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now go you. And then occupy till I come. Occupy means to buy and occupy. It becomes yours until he comes. You're going to occupy. But that's offensive. Your church is offensive. You thank you very much. That's exactly what we are. And you know, watch out. We'll be owning you too. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom come where? Oh, well, just anywhere. No, here. His kingdom comes here, and then we rule and reign over it as kings and priests on this earth. As it is in heaven. Brother, do you believe that? I so believe that. And we're going to have it. We're not going to let go of it until we do, which means the devil has to go away. It means we get to clean him out. We take all of his goods. Jesus said, by the finger of God, if the kingdom of God has come unto you, and I'm casting out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God's come unto you. A strong man, you bind the strong man, then you spoil his house. That's the way you do it. So in prayer, the work of prayer, we're going to grab onto some of these principalities and don't think they're stronger than you. You don't have to mock them. Book of Jude warns people about they don't mock. Don't mock the angels or the demons or the principalities. They're not happy about what's going on. We can be civil about it, but we're taking over. And they're coming down. And we're going up. They're coming down and we're going up. And one of the ways, you know, people don't like this. Well, the way to succeed, brother, is by stepping on other people. Well, in this business, the way to succeed is by stepping on the devil and his kingdom. And you can't do that and be nice and patsy about it. You can't. Excuse me while I crush your head. I'm sorry. The heel of the woman will bruise his head. Why will the heel of the woman bruise his head? Because that's what she's going to be stepping on. But she just kick up real quick when she's walking. No, it's down there. He thinks he's up here. He thinks he's in the heavenly. He's operating people like puppets. But he has no authority anymore. He has an unjust judgment by which he does it. It's no longer valid. Now we get to tell him that his judgment is unjust and to avenge us now of the adversary because you don't have any authority anymore. You have to come down from there. You have to be under my feet. And therein is the end of the matter. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:3. You guys probably are already there, aren't you? Hallelujah. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds. They need to be pulled down. This scripture should tell you that. What does he say? Look at here. Our weapons are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. So what are your weapons for? People think this. I don't know what they think they're doing. God gives them a sword of the spirit, and they go and they're trying to poke God with it. What if your kid did that? You gave him a sword.
Okay, son, now be careful with this sword. It's sharp. You don't want to hurt anybody. He's like, well, give me something. Give me something. Give me something. You're poking God with the sword of the spirit. How long would that last?
That thing would get dull quick. And somebody be taking out the garbage and mowing the lawn. What do you think the weapons are for? What did Jesus call prayer? To the unjust judge, demanding something of the... She wasn't being kind about it, was she? She was in that judge's face. Give it to me. With that kind of tenacity. I must have this. You must give it to me. But you're not talking that way to God. Nor are you using the sword of the Spirit with God. What good's that going to do you? He gave it to you. You're going to use it against the enemy. We're talking about the work of prayer. All right? The work of prayer. And I'm sensing it. I'm sensing a strength that's coming. That when I sense that strength, and I've seen it before, that's what it's for. And I hate to give you, we've heard so much junk on warfare of the spirit. That's why I don't call it that. All right? Warfare. Woo! And we've heard stuff and people get weird with it. There is a legitimate, as well as there's the extreme and the false. But it's work. What does the hired soldier call it when he has to go in and occupy a territory? It's work. It's a day at the office. A day at the office? Well, you got all those guns and stuff. I know my office is crazy. But it's my job. I'm a mercenary. I get paid for this. You get paid for it. You do. What do you get? You see, now you get and you go and you take something over. You get to keep it. That's the good thing. David said three times, he said, what do I get if I slay this giant? He kept saying it over. You kidding me, right? What do I get? He was egging himself on. He's like, I get gold around my neck. I get the king's daughter. I can live in the palace. You got a picture of her? He said it. What do I get? What do you get if you occupy territory? You get the territory. If you're faithful over a little, he'll make you ruler over much. He'll give it to you. You do what you're supposed to do where you are now. Occupy that. He'll give you something else. Bigger and better because he knows he can count on you. He knows that you aren't going to faint. He knows that you're going to be right there and you're going to grab onto that thing and you won't. What are you going to do if you got three bulldogs and one of them, you know, brings the bull down every time. And he's got three legs now because he's been through it all. Which one are you going to send after the bull? Little wimpy dog and...
Send the three-legged one out.
Send a three-legged one out. That's right. Because he'll get the job done. This is why people that get things done, God gives them something else to do. And they'll get it done, and then they'll get it done. It's just the way it is. We're going to get it done. We're going to get her done. Get her done. We need some of those hats. Get her done. That's why God's going to come up here to Maine, sit down. He wants to, and he's doing it now. There's an increase, but we're going to be required to occupy. Hallelujah, and chase out the pigeons or whatever that try to come in. Abraham had to do that when he put his offering there. He divided it. He had to wait all day. Seemed like, where's God? Why didn't he come down right away? But he waited all day, and he had to drive away the buzzards. They wanted to come down and eat his offering. He wouldn't let it. He drove them out. He occupied that space. And then God came down in a thick darkness and burned up the sacrifice all by himself. Came down in a fire. So what are these weapons for? They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or the word of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is full. You're ready. Don't even make me think that. Get out of here. You know, anything just comes in and smells like the enemy. It's gone. We just get rid of it. Can't stand around us. Ephesians 6, and I'll end with this. But this is just the beginning, you understand. I'm going to whip this group into shape. You know a garrison? You ever heard of a garrison? They would surround somebody. Let's say the king's in the house. Let's say you're the king. If we were to garrison around you, around Jason, we would circle around him with our backs facing him. Now you're protected on every side by every one of us. What if one of us was weak and wimpy? What if one of us wasn't the three-legged dog type? Where's the enemy going to try to attack to get at him? He's the precious cargo. We're ready to give everything we got. Now let's put the glory in the midst of that. The glory's in the middle now. What are we protective of? What are we not going to let in? Anything that would try to rob us of the glory of God and the call that he's put here. But you've got to be tenacious. You can't let stupid things creep in, seeker friendliness or any of this other stuff. It's out there. But we're not going to allow it. We're going to keep it out. We're going to smell it a mile away and we're going to stomp it out. Protect that which is precious that God's given you. We'll rise up in this thing. We're going to be mighty warriors of God. Like I said, I hate to use those terms because they've been misused, but they are legitimate. It's like intercession. We'll get into some of that, talking about intercession. But, you know, people have taken that off into the weird world. Too bad. We're taking it back. How about that? Glory be to God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. He's telling you what the power of his might is. Put on the whole armor of God. Let me ask you a question. Is this your armor? This is God's armor. What do you think you look like to the enemy when you're wearing his armor? You look just like God. You're putting on his armor. Devil doesn't know the difference between you and God. He's not real smart anyway. But the point is, you're putting on God's armor. He doesn't know who's in there. All he knows is God's word. It's God's armor. It's God's shield. It's God's faith. It's God's word. It's God as far as he can tell. So don't lift up the lid and go, wait, it's just me. I'm really scared back here. I'll probably faint if you go boo. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Who does? We does. No, it's we does. That would be accurate. King James. We do. We does. Who wrestles? Come on. Who is wrestling against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world? Come on, you. Get this, people. You're in God's glory. You're in God's armor. You're in God's word. You are more than a match. I don't care what the principality is.
I'm the king of Old Orchard Beach. I rule and reign this place, especially in the summertime.
Really? Well, your days are over. Your days are numbered. You have an unjust judgment, and I'm demanding that that judgment be removed. I'm demanding that you take that false judgment and give me the avengement from the adversary. For this whole area, it's ours. We occupy it. Will God tell you this, that we war... Wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Is he going to tell you that if you can't win it? He's not even going to tell you that. Therefore, take unto you, again, the whole armor of God. Do you understand? Whose armor is this? No, it's my armor. It fits me perfectly. No, you might have to grow into it. He's big. But you can be big on the inside. Hallelujah. Spiritual armor. And you are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Jason's like 12 feet tall. I'm a good 9 feet tall anyway. Jesus is Lord. It's not your armor, people. If you're trying to put on your own armor, you're in the wrong battle. going to stick out like a sore thumb. What's the devil going to do? What is he going to do? What is he going to do? And everybody's coming at him in God's armor. He can't tell who the king is. Because they all look like the king. Whose name are you in? Whose name did David go against Goliath in? I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. We come in against in the name of Jesus in his armor. We're more than a match for the principalities and powers who have unjust judgments. They must release it. They must give up. They must submit to the will of the Lord. And the last one of them is going to be put under our feet, and that's death. But until that day comes, we're going to occupy everything else. Everything else. Everybody say everything else.
Everything else.
Hallelujah. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Having done all. Having overcome all. Done what? Done wrestled. There's a lot of good English in there. Having done wrestled, what? The principalities, powers, and rule. When you're done, you stand. Who's the last one standing in a wrestling match? The winner is, not the one all twisted up and bent, holding his head, because there's a woman standing on it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Are you going to be saying the same thing as the word says? If you're righteous, you can't be righteous any other way. There's no other way to be righteous, right standing with God, than by saying the same thing that he says. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He doesn't even have any ammunition he can throw against you that'll penetrate. If you do this, this is God's armor. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, doing what? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That sounds extreme to me. Is this extreme or what? This is the way you're supposed to be. Sounds fanatical, sounds extreme. This is the way it is. In a warfare, it's take no prisoners. We win. We take it all. All. How many times did he say all in there?
All.
Having done all, stand. Having done all what? Wrestling all the principality. So I'm telling you right here. You know, if you don't want to do this, I suggest you back out right now. I'm serious. What did Gideon say? What did God tell Gideon? The ones that are weak and fearful, go home. How about you do that when you got a church? You got 3,000 people in the church and you say, okay, I want all of you to leave except the ones that are, you know, I don't know, have their hand in their pocket or something, or whatever God tells you to pick them by. Why? Because he was looking for the ones who wouldn't let go. He's looking for the ones that are grab onto this thing and they're going to take it, all of it, all of it, all of it, and are willing to do it whatever way God tells them to do it. That's what we're going to do. Are we willing? This is what I'm asking. Are you willing to grab onto this thing and wrestle all of them until they're all into submission and beating them? This is the work of the Spirit. This is the work of prayer. You understand that? This is the work. And God's going to give us a measure of it tonight. He'll give you a little taste of it. You can work up yourself on stuff. But then you're going to have to occupy it. You know how many times I've cast out demons and then they come and they try to come in my bedroom and try to, they beg you, let me go back. Why are they coming to you? Because you're the one that cast them out. You know that? You're the one that got rid of them, so you're the one that's keeping the authority over them. They don't have anywhere else to go. What are you going to do? You've got to take that authority and stand in it until it's cleaned out and deal with the repercussions and keep going. But it's war, and you got to treat it like that. You can't treat war like, you know, like a picnic. It's no longer a picnic. And you're not here for picnic. You want to just picnic, you come on Sunday morning. You don't come on Friday night. And we're ready for this, whether you know it or not. You know enough to keep your confession straight. He can't get you if you do. If you keep your confession straight. Keep your lives straight. Keep the peace in your household. You wear the warf and you never take it off. You mean you sleep with your knife? Absolutely. You ever see somebody? I had a friend who was in the special forces. The guy was nuts. He's a Green Beret. We'd come home. I was living with some Christian musicians. Don't ever do that. So before I got married, he came out of service, and he couldn't tell anybody where he was. He couldn't tell him where he was stationed or anything. Vow of secrecy. He carried a weapon with him. It was like a... Probably, whether he was supposed to or not, I don't know. They locked the door. Somebody had locked the door. It's a two-story house. They got the porch on the front. Somebody had, oh, we forgot the keys. Here we, civilian idiots.
We forgot our key. We can't get in the house. Help us!
This guy goes, no problem. 2 seconds later, he flipped up on top of the thing, up on top of the roof, and he was in the window in like 2 seconds, unlocking the door. We're like, oh, who needs a key? Just bring you along. But nobody poked him at night when he was sleeping because he slept with that gun in his bed. Nice guy, but I wouldn't want to be on the opposite. He was intense. He was intense. He was designed, and everything in him was now designed for one purpose. He was a machine. I got to get through that house. I go through the house. There's a house there. I know how to get through it. Shoot the door open and you forget the key. Right? You're starting to see the kind of intensity I'm talking about. This is what it means to grab onto something and not let go. And you don't have to grab the whole thing at one time. The Bible told Israel that. Don't just go in and drive them all out at once. Remember that? He said, take them town by town. Take them area by area. That's what we're going to do. And when we get in the Spirit, I remember doing this with Patsy Bierman. We would do that. We would learn how to be one in the Spirit. And we could tell by the end, we'd occupied new parts of territory that we never had before. And we'd come back and it would seem like we lost a little ground every day after it was prayer school at Rhema. Every day for 2 hours. Sometimes Kenneth Hagin would come in and teach. The rest of the time, that was their job, was to pray for that ministry and pray things through. And that's what we're doing here. The society, remember? What are we praying for? What are we believing for? We're going to occupy this territory, and the glory of the Lord is going to be established here. And principalities and powers are going to clean out, and we're going to have something. Right. Why? Because we're going to grab onto it, and we're going to clear it out. Where are we going to do it? In the natural. We're going to knock on doors. Yeah, we're going to spiritually knock on doors. Doors will be knocking all night long. Could you go on, come on. You'll say, I got to go to church. I got to get saved. Repentance flowing down the streets. Telling you, it takes tenacity. We can do it. Hallelujah. You guys are ready for it. Okay. Glory be to God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Guess what doesn't work anymore when you start talking things like this? Just natural prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. This takes a little maturity now. You can't dump this on everybody because they do get weird. But you dump it on people who know what you're talking about. They've been around. We've preached on prayer. This is at least the 12th message that I've preached on prayer. We know all the basics, the fundamentals. We're not going to veer from those now and go off into weird land. We're going to use those and apply them to cleanse things and to occupy. They're coming to us, but sometimes you just gotta be nuts. It's all you talk about. Yeah, that's right. That's all I talk about. That's all God talks about. You know, the glory is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. You're called unto glory. He's like a broken record. Well, you're going to be the same broken record because you're going to have it and you're going to live it, walk in it, occupy it. Glory be to God, and He's going to come. And the last enemy to be put under our feet will be death. I don't know anybody else saying that, but we're saying it. And we're believing for it. Well, what if you die in the midst of it? Well, glory to God. I still won, didn't I? So, what if you fasted so long that you died? Well, glory be to God. I won. I got what I was believing for. One way or another, I'm getting it. That's the bulldog, right? He may be dead, but he's still holding on. Asshole three-legged gipper. I'd send him out again if he'd move. I don't know what I'm going to do with this bull now. Now he's got a dog on the end of his nose. I guess I'll just lead him around by the dog. You understand, though. Glory be to God. Takes tenacity. Hallelujah. We win. When do you win? When you say you win. And we win from the beginning because we have the end from the beginning because we're acting like God. And he says he has the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. We declare the end from the beginning. We win. We're taking this area. It's coming into our subjection. And we're going to walk in the glory of God. And the last enemy to be put under our foot will be death. That's the end. And we're in the beginning middle somewhere. It doesn't really matter where we are because we know what the end is. All right. Glory be to God forever. You know, and you're going to want to make sure that you're keep yourself clean. Keep yourself free from the corruptions and the things in the world. If the devil can find a legal judgment against you, he'll try to use it. So repent and get rid of that legal judgment. And then all of his judgments are illegal. That's the great thing about repentance and forgiveness is because when you repent on a regular basis, just repent, he has no legal judgment. None for you. None. Glory be to God forever.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from him.
This message has been brought to you, free of charge, by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.